From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Forget and Forgive. The text is found in Proverbs 20, verse 22. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. Be not in haste, let anger cool down. Say nothing and do nothing to avenge yourself. You will be sure to act unwisely if you take up the cudgels and fight your own battles. And certainly you will not show the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. It is nobler to forgive and let the offense pass. To let an injury rankle in your bosom and to meditate revenge is to keep old wounds open and to make new ones. Better forget and forgive. Peradventure you say that you must do something or be a great loser. Then do what this morning's promise advises. Wait on the Lord, and he shall save thee. This advice will not cost you money, but is worth far more. Be calm and quiet. Wait upon the Lord. Tell him your grievance. Spread Rabshakeh's letter before the Lord, and this of itself will be an ease to your burdened mind. Besides, there is the promise, he shall save thee. God will find a way of deliverance for you. How he will do it, neither you nor I can guess, but do it he will. If the Lord save you, this will be a deal better than getting into petty quarrels and covering yourself with filth by wrestling with the unclean. Be no more angry. Leave your suit with the judge of all. If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns is expounding chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. The passage describes mankind's descent into unspeakable wickedness and perversion, the result of having rejected God's revealed truth about himself. As Dr. Cairns has been showing, it is this suppression of God's truth that is the foundation of all other sin. Again, we see that man has no excuse for not knowing God, or even the very heavens declare the glory of God. Verse 25 says that sinful man have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. As Dr. Cairn shows, the exact translation calls this the lie, for this is self-deception in the very highest degree. It is the rejection of God's revelation, the consequences of which are darkness in this world and eternal damnation in the next. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Rejectors of God, Rejected by God.
One scholar has said, there is nothing that Paul said about the heathen world that the heathen moralists had not themselves already said. And vice did not stop with crude and natural vices. Society from top to bottom was riddled with unnatural vice. And later that same writer remarks, 14 out of the first 15 Roman emperors were homosexuals. When Paul painted this picture of moral depravity and perversion, he was simply depicting what was clearly visible all around him. This perversion is ungodliness. It's the word Paul uses in verse 18. It is ungodliness. The deliberate rejection of God and of His law. And ungodliness produces unrighteousness, wickedness of every other kind. And the verses that follow here in Romans chapter 1 describe the filthy torrent of human depravity without fudging the edges of the picture, without obscuring all the vileness and the wickedness of this terrible evil that penetrated into every stratum of society, that touched every relationship in society, that wrecked and ruined everything from the state right down to the humblest home. John Chrysostom, the famed golden-mouthed preacher of the ancient Greek church, summed up Paul's teaching here by saying of these people, not only was their doctrine satanical, but their life too was diabolical. Now when we read this catalog of vice, we may well ask, how did the world ever come to be in such a state? And the answer in Romans chapter 1 is very clear. Remember what we have studied already. God revealed Himself to all mankind. In the initial creation, God revealed Himself. As He was created, Adam could not explain the heavens above him or the earth around him, or he could not explain anything within himself apart from reference to the one true and living God, his Creator. Nothing made sense apart from God. And let me tell you, to this day, nothing makes sense apart from God. All the philosophies of men, all the scientific theories of men that are postulated on atheism ultimately break down before the very facts that they claim support their theories, because they cannot hammer and chisel the witness of all the brute facts of nature into any other system of interpretation than that that has God, the God of Scripture, at its heart. Not only did God reveal Himself initially to Adam, but as I indicated, as a personal belief, don't say that it has to be a matter of orthodoxy, but I think I can defend it from Scripture, that when He did so, and men fell into sin, God used what He had created, especially in the heavens, to teach them the gospel. I pointed out that the psalmist tells us He gave the stars their names. We speak of the Big Dipper in Britain. I well remember in school being sent out at night to look up in the sky and find all these things. I don't know if I found them or imagined I found them, but the teacher was happy and I was happy and the thing was done. We called it the plow. You call it the Big Dipper. Ursa Major. That's not the name God gave to it. He gave them their names. I said the last time we looked at this, I think that astrology is part of man's depravity, taking an original revelation from God. For the Scripture, on a few occasions, draws our attention to the signs and the names of the zodiac as being a revelation of truth. Not some mystical way that stars plot your fate. That's the devil's invention. That's witchcraft. Utter witchcraft. But with the revelation in creation, God added very quickly the word to interpret it. Remember that Adam and the early patriarchs lived a very long time. So there was a stream of truth that went to the nations. Yet they went into utter apostasy, so that God had to destroy the world all except the family of Noah. So again, the world starts out from a relatively pure base. From Noah and his sons, with a revelation of God all around them and within them. And the word for Noah was a prophet of righteousness. Noah spoke for God. With the word to interpret that revelation. And yet it wasn't long till men arrived at Babel. And from Babel they overspread the earth with their wickedness and with their deception. God revealed himself to all mankind. But as Paul tells us here, men held the truth. They held it down. They tried to suppress it. They stifled it in their unrighteousness. Man chose his own religion and his own gods. And therefore we read the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And what we read from verse 24 onwards through this first chapter is a description of the wrath of God in operation. The world came to be the way it was, first because of man's sin, and second because of God's judgment on that sin. Notice three times, verse 24, 26, and 28, it says, God gave them up, or God gave them over. It's the same term in every case. Three times, God gave them up. The idea in the Greek verb is that he abandoned them to their own lusts. He removed the restraints that he had placed on their self-destroying wickedness. He delivered them over to the mastery of their own evil desires. Now this is Paul's statement about how the world that he lived in came to be in the state it was. Now all of this is vitally important for us today, because Paul's description of the ancient world portrays the modern world with disconcerting accuracy. You could be forgiven in reading Romans chapter 1 in thinking that it was penned exclusively with modern society in mind. Now, obviously, that is not so, but it does apply to America today. It does apply to the world today. And so I want us to look at this passage, and I want to sum it up in a very simple statement. This is what we'll pursue tonight. That God rejects those who reject him, but he still holds out to them the hope of the gospel. God rejects those who reject him, but he still holds out to them the hope of the gospel. And in dealing with that, I have three very simple points. And I hope very brief points. When I said to my wife on the way to the meeting tonight, I hope to get through all the way from verse 24 to 32 in Romans chapter 1, there was silence. It was the silence of unbelief. But I'm still going to try. I want tonight to draw your attention first to the sin of those who reject God. Then we will look at the sentence upon those who reject God. And finally, in verse 32, a word about the stubbornness of those who reject God. So it's very simple. The sin, the sentence, and the stubbornness. Now, anybody in his right mind could preach on that. And very briefly. Well, we'll try. Notice verse 25. This is the sin of those who reject God, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature. What has been created? more than him who created it. That's the idea. Serve the created thing more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. The truth of God. That's a phrase that appears three times in this book of Romans. Here in chapter 1, verse 25. You'll find it again in chapter 3, verse 7. And again in chapter 15, verse 8. The truth of God may mean three distinct things. And commentators are divided as to what it means. It may mean simply the true God. How do you arrive at that? The truth of God. You'll have to get a book on Greek grammar and syntax, and you'll discover that when they come to deal with the word of, the discussion runs to about 50 pages. Of, such a little word, what does it mean? So many ways in which the genitive may be used. Here it may be what is called a genitive of apposition. In other words, the truth of him who is God. The truth of God, meaning God himself is the truth that is revealed. It may speak of the true God. William Hendrickson, for example, the famous New Testament scholar and commentator, espouses that view. It may mean the truth about God. Another great commentator, Robert Haldane, said that it means the attributes essential to his being, the truth about God. And that makes good sense in this passage. Or it may mean simply the truth that God has made known, his entire self-revelation to men. I think, personally, that is the best interpretation. In the other passages that I've quoted, that would seem to cover them all. It speaks of the truth that God has made known to man. Now, what did man do with this truth of God? They changed it into a lie. Let me retranslate that. Because there is a little prefix to the verb that is overlooked in the word changed. It is the word exchanged. And the phrase can only really mean they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And that's the force of it. Not just a lie, but the lie. They exchanged God's truth for the lie. Now stop and think of it. They exchanged the worship of God for idolatry. Go back to verse 23, and you'll see that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They changed the exchanged the worship of God for idolatry. It's very interesting in verse 25 that in contrast to the vile idols of men, Paul speaks of the Creator who is blessed, that is praised, glorified forever. The Scripture draws this fundamental distinction between God, the true and living God, and the idols of man's production. God made men. Men make idols, and idols make nothing.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.